We are going to start. We got a lot of verses to go through. Pray that I don't get off into some of them, because I don't know that I'd get finished with them if I get off. And there's so much I could talk about in these verses, but I want to focus in on one thing. And I'm going to tell you something today. I got a special one for you today. Oh, I believe the Lord has put something on my heart to share with you. And I think it's going to be mighty awesome, mighty wonderful, mighty precious. So he that hath ears and she that hath ears, let them listen, let them hear. And, there's a verse in one of the songs of Simon and Garfunkel that talks about people who hear only what they want to hear and disregard the rest. You know, so I want you to hear what God wants you to hear and disregard anything that's not of God. All right? But regard whatever he has. And I think you're going to be blessed. Sometimes I think it's probably when I see something in the scriptures, I think, well, probably everybody's already seen it. And maybe that's true today. But boy, when I saw it, it was like an eye opener. And the more I get into it, the more blessed I am. So we're going to look at scriptures first. We're going to look at John, the fourth chapter, starting with the fourth verse. If you brought your Bibles, you can follow along. I'm in King James. All right. King Jimmy. The Bible that Paul used and Jesus. Okay. So we got that. We're going to go to verse 45. All right. So we got a lot of verses here. I'm going to start off by saying Jesus needed to go through Samaria, and it wasn't because they were out of food, which they were. You know, Jews didn't have any dealings with the Samaritans. You'll find that in the scriptures that we read. But he had, later on he'll say this, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And that was to do the will of the Father. And so we're going to start off. He and the disciples must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. The reason it's brought it in is it's called Jacob's Well. They dug a well there, and he gave it to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, set thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. The reason it says that is there's a woman that's going to come to draw water, and that was not a normal time to draw water. She was there more than likely, almost certainly there, because she was ostracized in the community and didn't want to be there because of where other women were going to be there drawing water. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Did we skip some verses? Okay, well, I guess not. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So they had gone to buy food. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, and I want you to leave this verse up there for a couple minutes, and I want to ask you a question, and then I want you to pay attention to this for a second. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. Yeah, how many of you have heard me teach on this verse before? Just look at all the hands. Okay. Now, I like to do this, ask questions when I go away. And I've asked this of an entire group of pastors one time. I said, when she says, how is it that you, being a Jew, are asking me for a drink, you know. And then I say, what does he say to her? And almost 100% of them say, 100% of the people, it doesn't have to be pastors, it can be just people, say, if you knew who it was that was asking you for a drink, you would ask him for a drink and he would give you living water. And I say, like I said, a whole room full of pastors, and nobody's ever given the right answer. Because indeed it does say that, but that's not what he said. What he said is, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would be asking him for living water, a drink, and he would give you living water. So he started off with, if you knew the gift of God. So I want you to just repeat that verse for me for a minute. Say, if you knew the gift of God. Amen. Now, we're going to maybe go back to this verse in a minute or later on, but we're going to move on right now and move quickly. All right. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then have come with living water? Whence since you have living water? And thou greater than, art thou greater than our father, Jacob, which gave us this well? And drink thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give unto him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give unto him shall be a well springing up to everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me to drink of this water, and I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go and call thy husband hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, you have well said, you have no husband. But you have had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that thou sayest truly. The woman saith unto her, I perceive that you are a prophet. The Father is worshipped in this mountain, and you say in Jerusalem that the place where man ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem shall worship the Father. You worship you know not what of, because salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When is he? Do you know we... I don't know why this is skipping some verses, but it is skipping some verses. Did I not read them? Okay. All right. I should have read it out of my own book. You know, then I'd have nobody to blame but myself. And I probably still have nobody to blame but myself. Okay, the woman saith unto him, maybe it's my trying to go through this quickly. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus, this is the first time anybody brings up the Messiah to Jesus in the scriptures. Jesus said to him, I that speak unto thee am he. This is the first time that Jesus proclaims he is the Messiah, the Christ. And which is interesting because they use two words, are Messiah and Christ, which is the same word, only Messiah is translated from the Hebrew, Hamashiach or Mashaka, and Christ is translated from the Greek, which is translated from Christos. So you've got, but if they mean the same thing, Christ is the Greek version of Messiah. So anyways, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he was talking with this woman. They were kind of shocked he was talking with a Samaritan too. And he says, Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why do you talk with her? They knew better than that. The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and saith unto the men, come, see a man. So she goes running back to Sychar, and she says, come, see the man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? So the first thing she does is start proclaiming that he is the Christ. He says, they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meantime, his disciples ask him, saying, Master, let us give you something to eat. He says, but he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And so the meat that he had to eat that he knew not of was her, and then the people coming to see him. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath man brought him? You know, it's funny how his disciples knew him but didn't know him. You know, it's really strange sometimes. Read the last words that he said to his disciples sometime. All together, John 14, 15, and 16, and 17. 14, 15, 16, and 17 chapters of the Gospel of John. And it's just amazing how little they, or much they missed. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath man brought him something to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him who has sent me, and to finish his work. Say not, there is yet 4 months. Now, as I was reading and studying this to share with you, where is Ryan? Did I lose him? Oh, that's right. Cooking. Did you smell that sausage, by the way? Boy, it smelled pretty good. I wonder if it was Jimmy Dean sausage. Focus. Okay, thank you. Boy, I tell you what, that acorn falls not too far from the tree. Oh, I know I'm getting off here, but I want to. And besides, Trey's not here to keep me straight. Okay. First of all, and this has something to do with what I'm going to be talking about in a minute. But first of all, for the last month and a half, I've been going back in my memory and asking the elders also to go back in our memories and think of all the people that have been part of our church in one way or another in the last 40 years. And I made a list of them, and many of them have left town and gone someplace else. Some of them have stayed here and they're going to another church. And some of them have passed on and passed away. And so I sang a little song by the Beatles. How many of you heard of the Beatles? Okay, good. We're not all living under a rock. I know that. And that was when I was in high school when the Beatles were popular, so I have a right to make reference to them. But they sang the song. It's my daughter Amy's favorite song, by the way, of the Beatles. And it goes, and this is kind of a rendition of it. It goes, there are faces I remember, some have gone and some remain. Of those faces I remember, of people and friends that came before. I know I'll often stop and think about them. In my life, I've loved them all. And I just sang that little song. And so I said, I'm going to sing a little Beatles song. And I thought of another Beatles song about, for those of you who are new here, this was a celebration of 40 years being here, okay? This church has been 40 years old, and And Jackie and I came 40 years ago. And so I thought of singing this song, and I said, I could sing a song that I'm not going to sing, and then I started to sing it. And it was, I was going to sing this song. It was 40 years ago today. Pastor Don taught the church to pray. Though we're always ever in style. And Harry Hawley dancing down the aisle. I just throw that in because one Sunday, Harry Hawley danced down the aisle, you know. And so I started to sing this song, and Trey said, you said you wouldn't sing that. And I just busted. I just lost it, and I couldn't sing it after that. Because Trey keeps me straight. But I want you to think, when I brought the names that I had, thought about, and I thought of so many, and was happy that we were, that I'd known them and everything. When we had an elders meeting and I went over the list, the first thing that George said, which was echoed by my thinking when I was going over the list, is, let's pray for them. And of course, the ones that have passed away, they're with the Lord, you know. But and we did that night, and I was just so pleased. And I'm going to bring that up in a minute, but first we're going to finish with this. Say not ye, okay. Now, the week before that, Sunday night, when Ryan had anchor, is when he was talking about how we had, I counted people. I don't know, I probably shouldn't count, but I counted, and there was over 120 people here Sunday night. And if you've ever had a church and you have Sunday night meetings, it's like nobody comes. You know, it's like just a handful of people come. And that's the general thing. And here we got about over 120 people come, and I counted about 70 college students. Of course, we baptized 13 people. Oh, yeah. And it was just amazing. It was just so, and it's been going like that pretty regularly. And I believe with all my heart that there is a great revival going on, and that is the tool that God is using to bring that great revival. And he says, go into all the world. And that's exactly what we've been doing up on campus, is going into all the world. Because these students are coming from all over the world. And over the years, we've had people from Germany and from in Africa and South America and Mexico, and we've had students from Korea and China and Malaysia and so many other places. And it's just been, but in the last couple of 3 years, it's just been growing and growing and growing. The only downside is that the college students are coming Sunday night. And we used to fill up the first three rows with college students. Now we have Danielle and Brittany, you know. That's good, right? Grateful to have them, you know, and we usually have three or four or five others, you know, on Sunday morning, but the majority of them go on Sunday night, you know, and that's cool because we're not here to build our kingdoms, we're here to build his, right? So anyway, I believe that this is something that Jesus is speaking that's prophetic right here. Say not ye, there is yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, he was talking about then. I understand that. All right. But it pertains to now. The harvest is white and ready. And so we need to be right in there. Now, here's something pretty cool. I have a little I have a book called by Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. Many of you probably have read this before. My Utmost for His Highest. And I frequently, I don't read this every day. There was a time when I would read. It's a daily devotional. It says the date at the top and tells you what to study that day, what to read over. It's a page. Each page is a day, and it's a one-year thing. All right? And it's pretty cool. But what I do do instead of, I used to, went through the whole thing day by day. And it's great. My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers. And what I like to do, though, is when I have a sermon, I'll feel compelled to just go and see what he says for that day. And sometimes, half the time you can always make the Word of God relate somehow with something, one way or another. But I had gone over this many times, the scriptures here, and I just felt compelled to go and read this. And look what his message is for October 16th. That's today, correct? All right? And this is what he says. And now this is a quote from Matthew 9:38. He says this, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." And then he has this whole page. I'm not going to take the time to show it, but he has the whole page about how it is important. In both situations, Jesus is seeing the harvest there. And then in the ninth chapter, he was seeing multitudes, and he was telling the disciples, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. And Oswald Chambers is saying, this is something that God is doing. Now we need to pray that God will bring the harvest. Send forth laborers into the harvest. So pray. Pray for what's going on in Anchor on Sunday night. And if you have time, come visit and be a part of it. All right? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now he says this, and he that reapeth receives wages. All right. He's talking about the harvest is plenteous. He says, and gather fruit unto the eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And he's just basically telling them that, these people are coming. This isn't something that just we're doing. This has already been planted before, and it's harvest time. And he probably was talking about John the Baptist more than anybody else. But he could go back into the history of Israel and go all the way through, And one of the songs I remember in Godspell that I like so much that we used to sing, and we haven't sang in a long time. But how many of you remember how many of you seen Godspell, by the way? Oh, just a handful of you. It's a pretty cool situation. It's mostly based on the Sermon on the Mountain, but what they have is put it in a modern New York City situation, and Jesus was going and calling his disciples, and then they were learning as they went through. It's kind of a hippie thing, during the early 70s is when this was written. And it starts off with this one that's being John the Baptist. And he starts singing, prepare ye the way of the Lord. 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 And that's mostly the lyrics to it, but they just kept singing and it kept getting greater and greater, crescendo and everything. And probably not the right word, but I don't care. It was good. It was the right word. Crescendo. I thought the crescendo was, I know that's a symbol. But then, that's what they do when it reaches that crescendo. The cymbal guy goes, shh. All right? Or, if you prefer cooking, bam! That's Emerald that says that. Bam! Excuse me. Okay. And herein that saith is true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap the that whereon you bestowed no labor. He says, other people have planted this. We are here to reap the benefit or the harvest. Other men labored, and you were entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him in saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of Jesus' own words. And he said unto the woman, and they said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that he is indeed the Christ. We're going to stop right there with that verse. Savior of the world. Now go to John 17. John 17. Great. This is the part we're going to get into amazing things. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, it was the day after Cody got married and Chad was here. And I gave him a little time to preach because he said he had something really good from John 17. And it was great. And I was really, I don't know, how many of you were here that day? Wasn't that moving when he was sharing that? And he, you know, a lot of it comes from a sermon that Jonathan Edwards preached about the excellencies of Christ. And it talks about the excellencies of Christ as the Lion of Judah and the excellency of Christ as the Lamb of God. And so he talked about both excellencies together. And that was one of the things he did. But he did it in terms of the glory of God. The glory of God is Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So that was that. Now, when I knew that he was going to preach on that, so I got into John 17, and I've been in it for ever since. I've been looking at it ever since, because I noticed one thing that I want to share with you, and I was glad he didn't. So we're gonna get this, because this is really good. John 17, verse 1. Let's go. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes into heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, I want to get to this because this is the good stuff right here. How many of you know that the thing about being a Christian, what it's all about, what verse do they stand on probably more than any other verse in the Bible? John 3:16. For God so loved, you know, as you see the football games, they used to hold up John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right? And this is what he told the woman. This is John 3:16. John 4 is where the woman is at the well. And what does he say to her when she says, you know, you asked me for a drink. How you're a Jew would ask a Samaritan for a drink? And he says, if you knew, what does he say? If you knew the gift of God and who it is that was asked you for a drink, you would ask him for a drink and he would give you living water unto everlasting, a well of living water that would spring up into everlasting life. All right. And so I understood when I first read that, if you knew the gift of God, that there was so much in our faith, in our walk with the Lord, in our desire to please Him, in our desire to be part of the body of Christ, that has to do with giving. All right? It is better to give than to receive. Amen? But it isn't just giving like that. It isn't just like giving of your finances. It's like giving of yourself. Amen? And so, you know, Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God, and I saw something really special in that, that is, if you knew who it was that was standing before you, a gift of God to you. Do you see that? You know, that makes sense, right? If you knew that I, the gift of God, was standing before you, you would ask me for a drink and I would give it to you. And then I saw that our walk with the Lord was very, very, very much connected to that, that we should see, like where it says in Ephesians 4, He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. He gave some. And nearly all the teachers I've ever known understood that to mean that He didn't give me like an anointing as a teacher. I think I'm a teacher. All right. Give me as a pastor an anointing, but He gave me as a gift and other people as a gift to one another. Do you understand that? That I am a gift to you. Now, I don't believe that I'm a gift to you anymore. Then you are a gift to me, though. See, you are a gift to me. Do you understand that? You're a gift to me because you have gifts. It says in Timothy, he says, neglect not the gift that is in you. He also says in Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. God has given you gift. The Holy Spirit has given you gift. Christ has given you gift. You have gifts from God. In Ephesians 4, it says, when Jesus was raised from the dead, He brought you with Him. And in the process, He says He led captivity captives, which means you were the property of hell. And He led you out of hell and He brought you into His own, to be His own property. You are bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you are not your own. And He says, He gave gifts unto men. So you have gifts. There's three sections of scriptures. Ephesians 4 talks about the ministry gifts. You know, there's Romans 12 that talks about the motive gifts. There's 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 talks about the spiritual gifts, the manifestational gifts. All these are gifts that God has given us. Can I have an amen? Amen. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's a mouthful, but what it says is, we all have gifts, we all have something to contribute, and God wants to do that. Amen. Through you, and of you, and for you. All right. Now, here's the cool thing, though, that I never had seen it before. I want to show you something as we are reading these scriptures, because there is another aspect to gifts, which if you will hear this and let it soak inside your brain and your head and your soul, your soul and your spirit and your body, it'll completely change your life. Something that I never had crossed my mind before. And what would that be? And it's in this verse right here. It says, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the one true God. Go back to verse before. Sorry. Back before, number two. These words spoke Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is now come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may be glorified. Didn't you go from three to one?
No.
All right, go to number two. No. I read number three the last time.
Yes.
And I said, go back one.
And he went to two and then he said, go back again.
Well, I said, go back again?
Yeah.
Sorry, Noah, my bad. All right. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, Well, let's just go back to one now. Maybe it was a Freudian slip or something. Probably not the right term. No, not this time. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is now come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son also, that thy Son may also be glorified. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Do you understand what's happening here? He is saying, now he's talking about the disciples that he has there, but we're going to see in a minute that he's talking about us too. And this is what he's saying. What he's saying there is, we have been given to God, to Christ, to Jesus. Do you understand that? So, this is an aspect that I don't think we quite have understood before, at least I haven't, and that is this, that Jesus is a gift from me, for God so loved the world he gave his Son. He's a gift from me, all right? The gifts of the Spirit through you are for me. The gifts of the Spirit through me are for you. The gifts of ministry is through you for me, and for me for you. But I never thought about this before, is I and you are gifts to God. Or should I say, the Father gives his Son a gift, and that's me and you. Do you understand that? It's like the gift of the love of God to us was Jesus, but the gift of the love of God to Jesus was us. Now it's a different, it's a different gift in as much as what do we got to give to him? Basically nothing. Except like where it says that Jesus said that we're like babies that suck at their mother's breast. It's like, what does a baby have to give to a mother? Nothing. Except everything. Do you understand? That's the kind of gift that we are. We're a gift of responsibility. Now that not only means that we are a gift to him in that way, I am a gift to you. You're a gift to me in the same way. You understand what I mean? This is different than you've got some wonderful gifts that God has given you to give to me. You are a gift to me as far as responsibility. Remember I said all those names I was going over, all people? And I thought, we're going to find out in a minute. He says, I have lost none of them, none of the ones that you have given me except for the son of perdition, which was, you know, Judas Iscariot. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is, I've lost some. You know? I felt like, Lord, you know, you gave me people as a responsibility. Like babies. I mean, like, I've been given like a baby to one. You understand where I'm coming from? And that in that much, in that way, you know, how many of you ever heard somebody that says, you know, that person's high maintenance? You ever hear that? High maintenance? You never heard that? Really? It's funny you saying that. No. I shouldn't have said that. It had nothing to do with you. Okay. I know some high maintenance people. And in that respect, it's like they're a pain in the neck. Do you understand what I'm saying? You get my drift? It's like there was this old movie one time in the 40s, from the 40s, or maybe even from the 30s. It's when Ethel Merman was a young girl and sounded like a real singer instead of, you know, most of you don't know what I'm talking about, but it doesn't matter. There was this guy named Eddie Cantor. He used to be popular in vaudeville. You don't know what that is either, but that's okay. Eddie Cantor. It was this movie. He owned this. He managed this factory. And so this guy comes in for a job. And he's kind of a big old lummox like me, you know. And he says, I know so-and-so from the army. He said he knew you. He says, oh, yeah, I know him. He says, so-and-so in the army says, you give me a job. He says, I have a letter of recommendation from him. He says, and I want you to know something. I was a brother to him, and if you'll give me a job, I'll be a brother to you too. So Eddie Canners opens up the letter. This is so-and-so. He was a bother to me, and he'll be a bother to you too. And I use that because you know something? If we're going to be brothers and sisters, we're going to be bothers.
Amen.
Do you hear me? How many of you have had somebody brought into your life that's high maintenance and ever saw them as a gift from God? Did you see what I'm saying now? Oh, do you see it? I mean, really see it? I mean, come on now. When he says the ones that you have given me, he wasn't talking about these real spiritual giants. He was talking about Peter. Later on, Paul. Me. That's when he says, not many wise have been chosen. Not many strong. Not many... What's it? What's the other one? What? No, but that sounds good enough. No, God has chosen the foolish things in this world to confound the wise. You know, when I was a gift to God, when I was a gift to Jesus, I wasn't some great, wonderful, look at what God gave me gift. Although he probably looked at me like that, he looked at me like a baby that a mama does and says, you're just everything to me. Although I had nothing to give. I mean, I heard a story about a baby. You probably shouldn't have told me that story, should you?
There's a lot of things I shouldn't have told you, but...
You know that sweet little Trey that is my number one fan, you know, Trey? He thought he should be into finger painting one time, right? And so he didn't have any finger paint. So he had to make do with what he had. Praise the Lord. And he took it and he smeared it all over his face, all over everything. That's the kind of gift I was to God. I'm just smearing it all over everything. And I hope you know what I'm talking about. I remember, you ever see that movie Daddy Daycare? Who was that? Eddie Murphy. Remember the kid going into the bathroom and he's in there a long time and he goes in, Eddie Murphy's like. How did it get up there? I mean, it was everywhere. That's the kind of gift I was to God. And he just loved me. He just loves me. I remember my niece one time came in and says, Daddy, I have found a cat that just loves me. He says, where is it? He says, I got it locked in the tool shed. So he goes out there. Meanwhile, he notices there's scratches all over her, you know. And this, he opens up the tool shed. Says, don't let it out. Just loves me. That's the kind of gift I am to God. I just scratching all over him. All right, I want to show you this. He says, as many as thou hast given me, say, I have been given to God. Let's go. Next verse. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, and have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me in thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now look at this verse. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou hast given them to me, and thou hast given them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all the things whatsoever thou hast given me, have given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou hast gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Watch this one. I pray for them. I pray not only for the world, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world. That means he was going to go back to the Father in his crucifixion. But these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that they should be taken out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. They are not in the world, even as I am not in the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. For their sake, I sanctified myself, that also they might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray for I these alone, there you go, but them also which shall believe on me through their word. So what he just said was, we have been given to God, given to Jesus. You know what? And he gives him to the Father. Let's stop right there. Now, do you see a different meaning when Jesus says to the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God? Of course he's talking about himself. But you know what else he's talking about? What he's saying to her? He's saying, lady, you are a gift to me. Do you see that? Do you see that? You are a gift to God. Hallelujah. If we can get that down in our spirits, we can just do anything, can't we? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you gave me as a gift to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've given everyone in this room, that you've called them, that you've chosen them as to be a gift to your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, even more so that you're a gift to us. Hallelujah. And that we would have living water that would spring up a well of eternal life out of our lives. Lord, help us see that people that are brothers may be bothers, but that's a gift to us. That's a gift to us. That people that are annoying, high maintenance, kind of like me, Lord, with you, very much like me, Lord, with you, are a gift to us. They're not a bother. They're a brother. Hallelujah. They're not annoying. They're anointed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let us see that people that are hurting, wounded, downtrodden, pain, and full of pain, that you've given them to us as gifts, that they are gifts to you, and that we are gifts to you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.